You know, imagining this world where you don't get to see them grow up. It got dark.
Welcome back to Teacher Tales, where we give you the keys to overcoming teacher burnout to find work-life balance and educational bliss if it still exists. On this interview episode of Teacher Tales, love, family, and resilience take center stage. We cover a teacher's devastating cancer diagnosis and her amazing trek back to education. Plus, what kept her going through the darkest times? Okay, Rodriguez.
Hello.
Thank you for coming on the show. I've been trying to get you for like 6 weeks.
You got me.
So this initially came from, as I'm thinking about what teachers go through, and part of the things that happen in our lives that kind of contribute to burnout is health.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of times people have mental, physical health challenges that you go through, and, you know, every day you still have to show up, and you got to be you in that classroom. Mm-hmm. Somebody else likened it to a stage. You know, when you're on stage, you got to perform. Nobody cares
about whether you want to or not. Yeah.
Exactly. About what else is going on. So when I thought about that and being here when you went through all of the stuff that happened with you, I was like, there's no better person that I would want for the episode. So first, just tell us, how long have you been teaching and what do you teach?
This is my seventh year teaching. Fifth year with you, actually.
Yep.
And I teach what is called Principles of Human Services, and that whole pathway, which is essentially what I kind of tell people is like my sales pitch is it's home ec 2.0. So we talk about all of the things that make up, like, you know, all of the daily tasks that you have to do in life, you know, cooking, cleaning, sewing, budgeting, that kind of stuff. And then we also discuss jobs that take those skills and help people using those skills. So that could be anything in the counseling and mental health field, food service, anything really. So yeah, that's me.
Where did you start teaching?
Yeah, all of my 7 years are with this district.
Have you ever thought about teaching a different grade?
Yes. Yes, I have.
If you could choose a grade, what would it have been?
I really, really like fifth graders.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. They still want to learn, and they're still in that age where they like want to make their teacher happy.
They still care about what you
and
think.
Still care about, yeah. And they actually, yeah, they like the topic, they like the teacher, they like coming to school, but they haven't hit hormones yet.
Yeah.
So it's right in that sweet spot.
They haven't hit the I don't give a F stage yet.
Yeah, and they don't say it to your face. Like,
right. You know, so there's always tons of stuff going on with us as well as with kids. So I'll just let you start it from the standpoint of you found out you were having a baby.
Yes. I have two. So I had the one, he was about not even a year, you know, we were having the baby, you know, stuff like that. And it was a summer due date. So I was like, oh, great. I'll Perfect. Be off. Yeah, no worries. And I'll take my FMLA. So, you know, all of that good stuff. Had the baby, everything was fine. We were coming up to the beginning of the year. And I was still planning on doing the FMLA because he was still so small and I wanted to stay home and, you know, take advantage of that. And everything was covered and everything was fine. Mm-hmm. And I get a phone call from the doctor who delivered because I had to go in for a C-section because he was breech. And in the middle of the you know, I'm seeing my baby for the first time. She comes around the curtain. She's like, hey, just letting you know, your placenta looks really weird. So we're going to have it sent off for testing, but congratulations, you have this baby. Never thought another right. second about that.
Right.
5 weeks later, I have a newborn at home, an 18-month old. Yes.
Dang.
Yes. My second, he was only 5 weeks old. Get a call from my doctor, and she's like, hey, just letting you, you know, she was nicer, and, you know, she asked me this, and she was like, are you with anybody? Are you sitting down? You know, stuff like that.
That's
and
I was automatically like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
A sign. Uh-oh.
Yeah. I was like, oh, great. And she's like, so your, you know, the labs came back and you have what's called choriocarcinoma.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay. And she was like, essentially, it's defined as cancer of the placenta. So something does not develop correctly. It turns mm-hmm. into these cancer cells, so on and so forth. And I was like, okay, like, it didn't really hit me, and she was like, you're taking this really well, and I was like, don't worry, just give me, like, 30 minutes, and I'll process, and, you know, whatever. So I did, and, you know, we got into an oncologist, and they did all the scans, and it had spread to my liver, my lungs, my spleen, and it was still in my uterus. So it was kind of everywhere. Yeah. Wait,
so you get this call,
mm-hmm.
right? And you took it well on the phone. How long after that did you go, oh crap, like I have cancer?
Yeah. It was because, you know, she's talking to me and she's telling me all this information and I'm writing it down on like a scrap piece of paper.
Right.
I'm pretty sure I had my baby in my hand and my other one was, you know, mm-hmm. causing chaos
life
somewhere
else.
Life
was happening.
Right. And like I sit there and I'm like looking at it and I'm like rereading it and rereading it. And I keep coming back to the word cancer written on it.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband had come home from work because he had been back at work at this time. And so like, I'm telling him everything. And I think when I said it out loud, like the first time, that was really hard. And I think that's when I was like, oh,
this is serious.
Yeah. And you know, you hear cancer and it's, you know,
it's kind of normalized now.
It's normalized now.
It's talked about so much.
Right. Yeah. Until it happens to you. And then you're like, this is it. Like, it's very scary, very dark.
So did you feel like I'm gonna die?
I did. Which was also really hard because I'm talking to my husband about this and we're like talking about what we do next and stuff like that. You know, we're talking about this and I have this baby and I have this toddler.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you know, imagining this world where you don't get to see them grow up.
Mm.
It got dark. But luckily, my doctor was really awesome. And she got me into, a specialized oncologist for this specifically.
Mm-hmm.
And he was very confident. And, you know, of course, you know, I'm Googling everything, you know, you're not supposed to. And I don't recommend it to anybody to just start Googling stuff you know nothing about.
You're your own home doctor.
Right, yes. But he was great. He was like, this has a very high success rate, mm-hmm. you know, all of this other stuff. I found a Facebook support group of women. But they just kept talking about how incredibly rare it was. Like, it just doesn't happen.
Right.
It's weird looking back on it and just watching the steps of like what happened and, you know, going through. Cause it was just appointment after appointment after appointment for me. And then of course, you know, all of the newborn appointments and things like that too.
Yeah.
And you're stuck in this like weird place where you're scared for your life and that you're mm-hmm. not going to be there for your kids. And then also trying to enjoy this new baby that you right. have. And then also the school year's coming around the corner. Yeah.
It's like, I'm stuck.
Yeah.
How can I move forward? Is there a forward? Where do we go from here? How much can I prepare?
Yeah, exactly. So it was very scary. But after we started chemo was another hard word for me to say, but after I finally like said it, you know, and got it out there, sometimes mm-hmm. you just have to say it.
Yeah.
That was very helpful. And I'll never forget, August 2nd was when I first started my day one.
What did that kind of look like? Because what was the timeline from hearing about it and then that first day where you had to start your treatment?
So let's see. It was very fast. So he was born in June. About middle of July is when I was told. And then August 2nd. So a couple, 2 weeks, 3 weeks maybe, between here, you have this, and okay, you need to go to the hospital to get treatment.
Dang.
Yeah.
Where did the most, I guess, useful support come from? And I say that from the standpoint of, like, there's always, like, people reaching out and, you know, texting and that kind of stuff. But where did you find, like, that support where you go, okay, this is really helping? Because, you know, not everything is...
Right. I'll give a lot of credit to that Facebook group
mm-hmm.
because it was other people who had gone through the same thing. And honestly, my kids, it was okay, this is non-negotiable. I have to get through this.
Yes.
And they also didn't care that I was going through chemo. Like, I still had to be mom.
Right.
And they don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
And so even on the days that I felt really bad, like after like chemo or just sad, they didn't care. I had to go make lunch or had to, yeah.
We got
to
play with these toys today.
Right, yeah, exactly. So that was also really, really helpful.
Mm. How instrumental was your husband in the process? Because I'm just thinking, if my wife told me something like that, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what I would do. Because as a husband, you just, as another person where somebody close to you is going through it, there's nothing that you can do. So,
yeah. So
how did he try to help navigate that, those waters?
I mean, he was, I have no notes for him. He was absolutely fantastic. He just did whatever we needed to. I mean, if I was feeling bad, mm-hmm. he, you know, picked up the slack there. He was mm-hmm. like, you need to go take a nap or you need to, you know, whatever. But he also wasn't. He also wasn't about to just let me get away with everything. It became very quickly. It became a joke. Like, well, I have cancer. I don't want to do this. Like, so that was also, and that's our personalities together. We definitely joke about it. And he likes that dark humor stuff too. So he was like, I don't really care. You gotta help me with something. And I think that was really helpful. But he was just, I didn't have to ask him to do anything. If he felt like, you know, we were talking about earlier, mm-hmm. kind of anticipating the need or whatever it was, he was so good at that. And he made jokes, but he's definitely an action speaks louder than words type person.
Right.
And so he would joke about it, but like 2 seconds later, he would be doing everything in the world mm-hmm. to try to make sure that the load wasn't on me.
Right. How long was it before you could feel like you could, like, openly talk about cancer? Like, I don't even like saying it, you know. I'm over here squirming. And when I asked you to talk about it, you was like, yeah, it's cool. You could say it. It's cancer.
It didn't take me very long because I feel like that was part of the processing. Mm-hmm. Like, I can, you know, we just saw it. Like, I can't talk about, like, what it made me feel like dealing with my kids,
mm-hmm.
but like me going through it, I could joke and talk about it. And, you know, it's really not, cause it's such a weird experience, and that's kind of, you know, humor is how I process a lot.
Right.
And I make a lot of jokes and stuff. And it was just, it was easier to do it that way than to try to just not talk about it. And, I never really post on social media. I'm not a big social media person, so I didn't get a whole lot of external stuff from that.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, I mean, it didn't take very long for me to start making jokes.
How did you help people to kind of feel comfortable around you and around talking about it, or because I know like people were just like, I don't know what to say. You know,
was there was any... a lot of that. It was a lot of, they would never say it, but it was always like, how are you? Mm. How, like, really, they really want to ask.
You know what they were talking about.
Well, yeah, I mean, I had a scarf on my head for a long time when I came back. I was just a little more open and kind of not abrasive, but kind of how I was with you. Just like, yeah, it's okay. We can talk about it. I mean, it's a thing that's happening. And I also think it really helped that while it was very scary and very uncomfortable and not something I would wish on anybody, it was a short journey, which I'm incredibly thankful for.
How long was it?
From beginning to remission and like last chemo, about 6 months, 5 or 6 months.
Mm.
Because I got my last treatment. I started August 2nd, and I got my last treatment 3 days before Thanksgiving. So it really wasn't long. It felt like it was years and decades. But looking back, it's such a blurb, profound blurb, but it's such a short amount of time. And I think that was really helpful for me to be able to process and to be able to see the progress throughout the chemo.
What about coming back? When did you start to think, oh, I gotta go back to work?
I gotta go back to work, yeah. So I came back in October because I had my 12 weeks. I had been sending emails and stuff, obviously, to our department head. And other people that probably needed to know what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
But I was, I guess, depending on how you look at it, I was very lucky to have most of my treatment done during my quote-unquote maternity leave.
Right.
But there were a couple of days that I had to take when I got back that I got docked for because I didn't have, because they take all your days for FMLA, so. I got docked for...
Oh, those bombs.
Yeah. They don't do that anymore. There's, you know, they have that system now where you can donate, but they did not have that when I was going through it, so...
I would have gave you as many days as I could.
That was... Yeah. That's, yep. But coming back, it was... I was kind of looking forward to it just to get into some sort of routine and... I had been, I may or may not have been giving lessons to whoever my sub was while I was like uploading stuff into our LMS while in the hospital because nobody knew what they were doing. So
that's the worst when you are out and people are asking questions like,
yeah,
well, what am I like? You mean, you work here too?
Right. So. While it was something to do while I was, like, because every other week I had to do an overnight at the hospital, which was the worst, but every other week I had to do an overnight. So it was something to do. So, like, uploading stuff into our LMS and, you know, doing, you know, setting the lessons and sending emails to whoever was fine because it was something to do. But then there was also a part of me that was like, I shouldn't have to be doing this, like, at all. But
this should be taken care of. I'm out.
Yeah.
So that kind of helped you get back into the swing of things.
It did, because I knew where everybody was at. I knew what was going on. And then once I got back, it ended up being fine, but it was hard because I didn't start the year with those kids. They didn't really know what was going on. I had some kids that I had had like the year prior, but not enough for them to like, take a vested interest in what was happening, which they're not supposed to, you know, whatever. They don't need to care about what their teacher's going through, but it would have been nice.
You could have played the cancer card. Like, you guys know I had cancer.
You know, I think about that all the time. I really did not play my cancer card as well as I should have.
Because if you pull that, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, people would just do whatever you tell them to.
Yeah. And some people have told me, they were like, you're really not pulling this card as much as you should. And I was like, well, I don't feel like I have. And now looking back, I'm like, I should have used it for everything. And I did not. But
was it because you didn't want to be like the cancer person? You know, everybody like having pity and like, oh, you know, just take it easy. She's
right. Yeah, I think a lot of it had to do with that too. And it was like, I didn't feel like I couldn't do the things. So like, why am I going to pull this card if I know I'm capable of it? Or why am I going to, you know, I didn't want to become that person, but I should have been that person.
At least a little bit.
At least a little bit.
Where do you think that mindset came from? Like, I don't want to be that person. It's probably just an extension of who you are.
It is. A lot has to do, a lot of it has to do with how I was raised, for sure. My dad was very much a no excuses person. Even when I was in high school, if there was an assignment that I didn't do, it was very much like, I'm sorry, I don't have this. And I just didn't really give excuses because I was told there is like, you don't have any good excuses. There's no such thing as a good excuse. And so there was that happened a lot too. And then I think a lot of it is too, like, I like being a team player. Mm-hmm. I like doing what I can. So if I'm capable, I'm going to try.
If somebody else asked you for advice going through cancer or any other kind of, you know, difficult health situation where they're being a teacher, or whether it happens in the beginning of the year or whenever, what kind of advice would you give that person?
I would give them the things that I think really helped me is I drank so much water. It was just insane how much water I drank. So
wasn't expecting that to be the first.
I mean, I'm telling you, I didn't expect it to be the first either, but that was the first thing that came to my mind. Drink lots of water. Don't stop moving. Listen to your body. And, you know, rest. Like,
when you say listen to your body, like, give us an example.
Like I said earlier, so my kids, they didn't care. They needed mom. They needed me to pick them up and change them and play and do all of the things, because having small children is very physically exhausting.
Man, listen.
Yes.
And you had two.
And I had two.
I got one. He's going to be three next month.
Oh, my goodness.
He's all over.
Having my body, like, constantly moving, I think really did help with nausea. It helped with fatigue. And it helped. It really kept those things at bay, because I really didn't start feeling super bad until probably the last couple of rounds, because those were just maintenance rounds. Mm-hmm. And so, like, they weren't really doing much as far as, like, killing cells in my body. They were just attacking my body. But you also need to kind of strike that balance between, like, okay, you know, you need to move, you need to go walk, you need to go do these things. Right. It's really going to help. But you also need to not burn yourself out.
Mm-hmm.
I will say, coming back in that year, it was sort of a wash, but I also knew that's what I needed.
Right.
Because, you know, I did what I could for my kids, my students. I taught what I could, and then there were just days, especially after treatments and stuff, where it was just like, I can't, and I'm not going to force myself to do this. Like, I'm not.
Works on schooling, guys.
Yeah.
I cannot be bothered today.
Right. And that's kind of, I mean, it's really trying to find that balance, because you want to be able to do enough to make them successful, and you want to do enough at home too for your family. And you can't burn the candle, or the, what is it? Burn the candle at both ends.
There you go.
Yeah.
And no one wins.
Yeah. And no one wins.
Okay, before we get out of here.
Okay.
Five W's. Who, what, when, where, why. And we're going to start with who. If you had to shout out one person, that helped you in a specific way. It doesn't have to be like who helped you the most, but in a specific way, who would that person be?
I'm actually gonna give that to Lizanne.
Friend of the show.
Yeah, friend of the show, Lizanne.
Shout out to Ward. What did she do?
I mean, she was always checking in.
Yep.
She was the liaison between, you know, getting the stuff done and, you know, having to take, really taking the brunt of all of the stuff that, you know, department heads have to do whenever they are missing somebody. Really just reminded me, like, hey, work-life balance. And right now it needs to be more life. And just sweet and thoughtful and caring and did everything.
All the things that she is. Yeah. She's awesome. Definitely grateful to have a great department here.
Mm-hmm.
What's the most valuable lesson you feel like you learned throughout the ordeal?
Your family is absolutely number one, no questions asked.
Yeah.
I there will never be a time where I question, like, should I do this thing or should I hang out with my family? It will always be family. I'm not going to stress myself out over anything else except them.
Perfect. When did you begin to feel like yourself again?
Actually, not that long ago. I think when I could finally, like, do something with my hair. And not for vanity reasons. It was mostly just like, okay, I can throw this up. I cannot think about it because every time I would look in the mirror, it's like, oh, yeah, you had cancer. Do you remember that? You remember that time?
A not so subtle reminder.
Right. And it was just, people said I pulled it off. I just did not like it.
I remember specifically commenting, like, I love your curls. Your hair is awesome. And it wasn't to, like, just make you feel better because you had cancer. It was because I liked your hair. So,
well, thank you. Reflect. I appreciate it.
I always try to come through and, you know, say what's up to my people.
Yeah.
Okay. Where, during that time, where was your happy place where you could just go, or maybe it was something that you liked to do?
I really liked my parents' backyard, actually. It has a pool. It's beautifully landscaped. She was usually taking care of my kids and not me.
Perfect.
And so I could watch them play, and I wouldn't have to do much because she knew that I wasn't feeling good. So I would just sit, and she would handle everything. You know, just, you know, getting taken care of your parents is always nice. So that was my happy place. It was always really nice back there.
Why do people, I don't want to say quit, that sounds so bad. No. Why do people leave education?
Field? Yeah. Yes. At the end of their contract? Yes. going through what I went through, where I can see why people would leave, is because of the way that the districts are set up, especially for something traumatic like that. There just doesn't seem to be a whole lot of support.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I mean, I named a lot of people who gave me support, but the district did not have the things in place that I needed.
The system.
So, like we said earlier, they don't. Now the district has like a bank where you can donate days if anyone is fighting, you know, having to do things like that or take extended leaves and stuff like that. That was not in place when I was going through what I was going through. So I think that there are just a lot of people that leave, especially if they have issues, you know, like that. The systems are just not there. It's just not. And why would I stay in a place where they're not going to, I'm not going to be covered, basically, if something bad were to happen.
You're just screwed.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Wow. How do we end this off on a good note?
Well, I am, let's see, coming up on a year and a half in remission.
Excellent.
Yeah. You can't say cured. You have to say in remission.
Says who?
Says the medical field.
Yeah. I guess they're right.
What I've learned is that nothing is 100% in the medical field. They can't tell you, yes, you will be cured of this. And they just won't do it.
Probably don't want to get sued.
Exactly. That is exactly why.
I watch a lot of hospital shows.
Yeah.
Okay. What advice, before we leave, because there is a teacher listening right now who may or may not have a life-threatening ordeal, but they still need advice, help from people like us. So what advice would you give a new teacher, and what advice would you give an experienced teacher?
Reach out.
Mm.
And that goes for everybody. I am definitely one of those people that does not reach out because I either feel like I can figure it out, mm-hmm. or, you know, whatever the reason may be, but I reach out to anyone and everyone, because you don't know what other mm-hmm. What other people have been through. And like, I was talking to somebody, you know, during my while I was going through treatment, somebody I used to work for, and I was kind of telling her, and she was a nurse practitioner. But I didn't know what she did. And so I was telling her like about my story, and she was like, did you have choriocarcinoma? And I was like, yeah. And she was like, I specialized in that.
Wow.
And so like, you don't know what people know or what they've been through. And the more you reach out, the more you get to learn about that. And you just don't know who has the most helpful information for you until you do.
Perfect. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited we finally got to do this.
Finally got to do it. And teacher out there, reach out, because you never know who has the answers you're looking for.
Correct. You said that a lot better than I did.
I hope you all enjoyed that conversation between me and Rodriguez. It was definitely a heart-wrenching conversation at some points there. I'm so appreciative that she was so candid and was able to just share her experience of going through cancer and having a new baby and a toddler and a husband and trying to be the best teacher that she could. I'm just grateful that she was able to walk through that with us. And it was definitely a pleasure having her on and talking about it, as I knew it would. Before we get out of here, remember, there's only one way through difficult times, and that's forward. Appreciate the people who are there for you, and as much as you can, be a person that's there for others, because you just never know what you mean to someone else. And of course, family first. Because you enjoy what you heard from this episode, go join the Teacher Triumphs Facebook group. Me and Jen created it as a way to help you overcome burnout and balance life by building community with other wonderful educators. Thank you for listening. I'll be back next Monday and Thursday with more Teacher Tales. Keep teaching, keep learning, and I will see you all on the next journey.